What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Does anyone actually know what's going on here?
I literally have no idea.
Help.
We're 20 whatever.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
And welcome back to 20 whatever. Okay, I know for you guys, there's been no break. Like right. We posted last week. But for us, we have not filmed together in 6 weeks.
It has been so long. I have missed you guys so much.
Wait, I don't think I realized it was actually 6 weeks.
There's like a hole in my life.
No,
that
right.
is now filled. You guys filled my hole.
Sierra, so dirty. I like it.
I missed you guys. And I also missed this. Like yeah. the podcast, sitting, filming. I told Steven around like week 3, I was like, I want to sit down and podcast with Ryan and Paloma so badly.
I felt that same way, especially watching the amazing Halloween episodes come out from afar. Like, I'm in right. Singapore. I would wake up at a different time. So at that point, it was already posted. And right. I'd wake up and be like, oh my gosh, like, I just miss seeing you guys and being with you guys. And it's just, I'm so glad to be back. And the fact that we're coming back to my birthday.
Right. I was going to say, so if you are an video listener, listen. You can clearly see she's decked out.
Look at me, you
it's
guys.
Giving Princess P, okay?
It's
this episode actually comes out on your birthday.
On my birthday.
Happy birthday, Halloweena.
Yeah, everybody in the comments again, happy birthday, Halloweena.
You guys, cheers.
Yes.
Cheers.
Yeah.
And honestly, this is not helping I'm such a birthday girl, so this is feeding my ego. I'm like, yes, the tiara. I showed up and they gave me a tiara and a sash.
Right.
And Ryan bought me this dress.
I did.
I mean, I feel so spoiled. And also the shoes, peep the shoes. My mom got them for my birthday as well. So
it's giving Elle Woods.
It is.
If you know, you know.
I'm just so happy right now. I'm living right now.
Like right when she gets out of the car and she's got like Bruiser in her bag and everyone at yes. Harvard is like looking at her.
Yes.
And she just does not care. Just strutting her stuff. That's you yes. right now.
Oh, I'm Elle Woods and this is Bruiser Woods.
We're both Gemini vegetarians.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was saying like it's when... After she made the decision to go to Harvard, she was like, I need to get, like, these are giving, like, scholar shoes.
Yes.
Before, right, she might have was wearing, like, some sparkly, like,
which, you
glitter.
Know what? I've realized we've actually never, like, done a talk about Legally Blonde and how amazing that film is in cinema. Like,
right,
that
no.
woman really decided to go to Harvard and she changed her whole life around
right.
from, like, laying by the pool.
Well, and you know what I love about that movie and that message is I feel like so often it's like, oh, like, the airhead blonde
right.
has to, like, be boring to be smart.
Mm-hmm.
I love that she didn't, like...
She didn't change her
she
personality
didn't change
at
herself.
All.
No. Yeah.
She's still wearing pink. She's still girly AF.
Yep.
But she can also be like a badass lawyer.
Yep. Yeah.
And I
yeah.
love that.
And that yeah. doesn't, one thing doesn't mean the other. Like,
right.
you can
coexist with all these things.
Exactly.
And it's so like it's such a girl's girl movie because in the movie, like, girls aren't, nobody's putting anybody down except for Vivian, but she gets like a reality check at the mm-hmm. end and she's like, you know what? Right. Like, we're all here just trying, like, we should be fighting the man, mm-hmm. not each other.
Exactly. I love that it ends with Elle and Vivian being best friends.
Yeah.
And then both saying, screw Warner.
Right.
Right? Like, in yeah. the end, it would have been so easy to go the typical, especially when it came out, which was what, like 2005?
Oh my God, mm-hmm. that was like not
a typical ending. No,
no,
the girl choosing herself. And even in the musical, I remember as myself saying, like, I'm sorry, Warner. I mean, at the end of he proposes and you're like, I'm sorry, Warner. I'm choosing myself. Right. I gotta go my own way. I'm like, right. Yes, it's you giving, do.
I gotta go my own way.
You know, but really,
what about us?
No, exactly.
What about it?
No, right. No, right. No,
I thought
right.
I thought we were gonna keep going. No, sorry.
It's not a 20 whatever episode if we don't like break out into song like
and I feel like usually we take it like one line further than we needed to. Dude, which okay. was what Paloma which was going for
I,
here.
I was listening to I don't know if it was the last one or the one before, but we were singing. I was like, does this end? Me, oh guys, like we need to cut it.
It was the last one because I listened to it this morning where we were singing Push It to the Limit.
And I'm was
like
so
I was listening to it on 1.5 times speed and still I was like, are they gonna like are we gonna stop?
You guys are like no, in it to win it. You're like, okay.
I'm like, let's just perform the whole song. Like it might as well have been that.
Listen, you're giving enough time for the viewers to jump in and start singing along with you guys.
Exactly. Because sometimes it does start and you start to sing and you're like, oh, it's over.
And aww. I feel like now that what episode is this? Episode 16?
17.
Oh my gosh. We have our footing. I feel like we figured out like who we are, who this podcast is.
Yeah.
And also like we're starting to get like our own like inside jokes and our own lore, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
Like if there was the 20 whatever cinematic universe, like the Halloween jokes, like
right.
Kenny Ortega. Right. One of those things is us singing for about twice as long as we should have.
More than necessary. Yeah, but more alas. Than necessary.
But then all the comments are like, sing more, and I'm like,
which, by the way,
you don't have to tell me twice.
I was right. gonna say, I know, I don't mean to sidebar, but that's what we do. I wasn't with you guys even in
oh
the
my
same
God.
Like time zone when that Heather's thing dropped, and right. I am so blown away at the kind words and yeah. the love that we received on that singing video.
Yeah,
it couldn't have been better because obviously I was
no,
so
we
scared,
shitting bricks.
When Ryan was like, "Okay, I'm about to post it," I was like,
"I know." I was in the group chat, yes. like, "Okay, are we ready? Like, I'm doing it.
I know." And then you guys were so nice and hyped us up so much.
Yeah.
That now I'm like, okay,
maybe we can.
I know.
Maybe we can do a little bit more.
It got me so excited. I will say, I'm like, they like us. They really like us.
No, right? And they were like, just do the whole musical, and I was like, don't say that.
Yeah, I will.
Because I will drop everything in my life right now to do it.
Yeah. So thank you so much for the love and encouragement because yeah. that felt great. And honestly, it felt awesome to do that with you guys. I'm yeah. so happy we did it. And again, we learned it so quickly. That was yeah. badass, girls.
It was sweet. And I honestly filled my theater void a little bit too. Like yeah. I was like, dang, like I really want to be in a show. And then we sang and I was like, okay, like this is giving.
We really played like theater. We did like the whole dressing up, singing, dancing. Yeah. So I really got that fixed. My mom said the same thing. She's like, I love that you were just so like, obviously it's like a podcast and like you're chatting, but even then there's so much more than that. And you guys just yeah. being theater kids and having these other things is awesome.
And I do really think that's something that this break, because we had to pre-film because we were all like traveling. Paloma was in like Singapore, Hawaii, which we have to go all in depth
deep
on that
dive.
Trip.
Give you the tea.
But I think this kind of break just made me realize like how much I get from doing this with you guys.
Yeah.
And how much like of that theater void is filled with you guys. Mm-hmm. And I just am so grateful for this time and this platform.
Me too.
I just can't thank you guys enough.
Seriously. Ugh. Cheers.
Know, cheers again.
Cheers again.
Cheers all around.
Oh my gosh. And also notice for the viewers, we have some pink drink today.
Yes. Oh yeah, so today's theme is pretty in pink because that is Paloma's favorite color, obviously, so we're all in pink.
we should talk about this.
So we were all like, oh, let's wear pink, you know, it's Paloma's birthday, blah blah blah, whatever. I'm in my closet like searching, I mean digging, y'all.
Do you think these socks will go?
I mean, I have my sleep shirt, which like I sleep in every night, so like no. And I have a pink sports bra. No, I'm like, I don't have anything pink. And I'm like, listen, I know it's your birthday, girl, but like, you need to go into your closet. Like, I need something.
Me, I've been waiting for this moment my entire life.
You she opens to- it. It's just entirely pink.
Literally,
just
like, I have this. I'm like,
how about a coat?
And listen, I don't hate pink because I think pink haters, mm-hmm. you know, there's something to be said about like a girly who hates pink. I'm like, but why? And I get it. I used to be like, I don't like pink. I'm not mm-hmm. like other girls type mm-hmm. of vibe. You know, we've talked about that many times. I am no longer that girl. I just don't own anything pink. Like, right. I just haven't gone to, like, get it. So this is Paloma's top. Very cute. And also, I'm wearing Fabletics pink socks that I did get a few days ago from Miss Sierra.
I am also wearing my Fabletics pink socks, which were one of only, like, four pink things I had.
Yep.
So my choices were a pink windbreaker, which was very cute, but crinkly.
Yes.
So the audio would have not been good.
Right.
a pink bodycon dress or this pink crop top that I wore with my Halloween costume being Rapunzel.
Right.
So I went with this and the Fabletics socks.
Listen, we just need to get more pink in our wardrobe. And then there's Paloma, who's wearing like a literal princess gown, but like courtesy of me. So, you know, not the princess wave.
Princess just P. Just a slow wave.
You can refer to her in the comments as Halloweena or Princess P. Both are fine.
How about Her Royal Highness Princess P. Halloweena?
Absolutely.
That's it. At your service, ma'am.
That's it. That's it. It really is giving Princess Diaries.
Thank you so much.
Which I watched, not to sidebar, but I feel like we can't say not to sidebar because that's what we do.
This whole episode is a sidebar.
It's sidebar. It is. It's just going to be catching up in a mess.
Because it's been so long.
It's been so long. There's so much to say.
Yeah. We were going to do like a topic this episode and we're like, we just will never get to it.
No,
yeah.
We so simply won't.
This is sidebar.
So sidebar our sidebar. I was watching Princess Diaries 2. This is important. And I'm watching it and I'm like, listen, you know the song that comes on? It's Norah Jones. I want a little something more. Yeah. Don't know what. Iconic. And I was like, whenever we start having guests around here, it's Norah Jones.
Ms. Norah Jones.
Second place. After Kenny Ortega.
No one is coming on here until Kenny Ortega comes on.
Which we have to discuss the new addition to the set that Jess added. Mm-hmm. Jess, do you want to tell us?
Oh boy, do I. All right. So if you look between Sierra and Ryan, you will see a beautiful heart-framed bifold photo frame of our sweet, sweet resident mascot, Kenny Ortega and Ryan, because they are in love.
We are. And listen, I don't know what his deal is. I don't know if he's married. I don't even care. Bro, listen. Listen.
None of that matters.
I just want to know. I have so many questions. And it's just, it's true admiration. And like we've said, there is a seat warmer just for you. I'm so dead ass.
Which, by the way, Sierra, I don't know if I ended up telling you, but I saw a TikTok that Kenny Ortega actually directed Hocus Pocus 2.
Oh my God, I saw that too.
Really?
Yes. So much. His hands have touched so much. Well, and they should touch me.
Ryan Christina.
Listen, guys. I said I didn't care. And that's what I meant.
Can we also talk about Chris Pines and the fountain scene in Princess Diaries 2?
Yes. Oh, okay.
Gosh.
His whole character with his uncle was so insane to me because I'm like, so you want the crown? That's fine. That makes sense to me.
Wouldn't it make more sense for him to like just marry her and then instead of trying to like take it?
That was my whole thing. I'm like, just be together and then you can have the crown. You're gonna get the crown and the girl. But the uncle was like, we don't need the girl, like get rid of the girl.
He said, what about the fake snake?
That, and also my favorite part of that whole show is when they're in like the courtroom or whatever, like deciding, and obviously Miss Julie Andrews is like, shut up. And everyone's like, oh yes. My god. And she's like, oh my god, sorry, like I just don't know the lingo. And I'm like, you're new here.
Okay, another iconic thing about that movie, when she goes with the orphans and then it's like, I'll spread my wings. And then the little girl is like,
and she's like sucking her thumb and then she's like waving.
She's from like Little Miss Sun. That girl, it was like everything after that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Also, Avril Lavigne wrote that song and Kelly Clarkson performed it.
Shut up.
Oh, I can hear that as an Avril song.
No way.
Iconic.
That is such, especially
two
with
icons.
The, na, na, na. Yeah, that is so, no, right. So Avril.
No, right, right, right.
What Avril Lavigne was the first CD I ever had. I got it for Christmas.
Really?
Right. Yeah. And no, then I remember she said damn in one of the songs and I thought I was going to get in trouble. I like turned it down on my karaoke machine like so fast. I was like, oh my God, did my aunt know that? Like when she got me this CD?
Right. No, right.
This is not the clean version.
Yeah, right. That is so funny. Also, like the clean version is like still would include damn.
Right.
Isn't that funny? Like clean versions of songs only take out like the really like harsh words, but like ass is still in there.
Why is shit such like a bad word? Like they always bleep shit.
I don't know.
Like I get the F word, whatever.
Yeah.
But like why is shit worse than like ass or damn?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's the hierarchy of curse words?
I guess the F word is the top.
Wait,
right?
Do you think shit is above ass or ass is above
shit is below ass?
Really? You think you're like this is ass?
No.
Well, the shit has to be below because the shit is coming out
of the ass.
Right? But isn't it more harsher to say you're such an ass than like oh you're such a shit? You know, like shit is so like asshole. Silly, right?
I feel like ass is silly too. Like, I think asshole is like whatever.
I think it would be like fuck shit. Just sound out of me just saying every curse word. It's like fuck is the worst.
Yeah.
Right.
But what, where does bitch stand?
That is, I think,
that gets bleeped out too.
It does. They always bleep
that out.
Oh, bitch.
Bitch. Why are they bleeping bitch?
I feel like it's fuck, shit, bitch, ass, damn.
Damn is at the bottom. That's for sure. Like that I can concur. Like damn is like damn.
Do you include crap? This was a point of contention growing up in my family.
Let's crap will begin it. Crap.
Crap.
Damn.
But crap and shoot and
shit.
No, crap and shoot are and dang, those are light versions of damn, yes, ass, and
okay,
shit.
Like you're the, right. They're like A. You're like, yeah, it's shit, like, A. It's like
shit. No, no, yeah, shit, shoot.
Right.
Dang, damn.
What's crap?
Bloody hell.
Shit.
But you just said shoot is shit.
Shoot the shit. Shoot, shoot and crap is the same. I feel like interchangeable. Honestly, I just knew that like dang. I was like, oof, like somebody done messed up.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know. We should ponder on this. I was like, comment below what you think the hierarchy, number it from 1 through 4.
I also feel like for you, like your mom was probably saying a lot of shit in Spanish.
Oh, yeah. Like
all your curses are like in Spanish.
Well, for a lot, like when I kind of mess up stuff, like without, not like I'll be like chingado, like I just quickly, yeah, just like it just comes out and chingado kind of is giving shit.
Right.
Is the Spanish hierarchy different than in English?
And does it translate the same?
Yeah.
No, because for example, like perra is like a really, it's even sounds strong, but it's like dog. You're like calling, so I guess it'd be bitch. But perra is like something way more stronger than you would say bitch. Like I wouldn't, you know, like I'm trying to think like the C word, like I'm not even going to say it on live because that is like a strong word and only for, you know, and I'm trying to think what would be like, because that's the top. That's number one.
No, I feel that. I mean, I feel like that could be number one in English too.
Yeah. Well, the fact that we said all the other words and then we just say,
we like, okay,
the
say that
C word.
Yeah. I whip that out when it's like,
when it's necessary.
But also I feel like that word is actually being used more often nowadays. Like I find it in songs. Oh yep, the millennials nodding her head. Jaden's nodding her head.
Jaden said
People just kind of throw the
I
C
feel like
word
we
around.
Might be reclaiming it. That might be the thing.
Which I do like, because why am I allowed to say dick but the C word is something so awful. So I said, well, guess what that C word did?
Yeah,
right. Created life and did so much more. But
right, okay, but anyways, how did we get here?
See, good point. How did we get here?
Ranking bad words.
The first one that I ever knew, like, oh, that's bad, but I don't know how. There were two teens in my neighborhood who were like flirty on and off when I was like 6 or 7.
Love that.
And one of them like flipped the other one off. And I didn't know what that, but like in a joking way, like, haha, like flipping them off.
Right.
And I remember I got in the car with my mom and I was like, mommy, what is this? She was like, okay, like, where'd you see that? And then like explained it to me. But like, I just knew like there's something about this finger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I learned about the finger too. Like, and then you do the other one. To see like the ring finger and you're like flashing that one, like you're like, I'm not doing the real one.
I'm like, same thing, bro. Like it's not the same, but we know what you're doing.
See, that was a thing in my church where people would like use substitute words. So like they'd be like, what the fluck? And it's like, but what is the fluck. Difference?
Yeah. Might as well say the word.
You know, it's the intention.
Yeah, it's
my
the
cousins,
intention.
My cousins, like there are a few that they do not curse at all, but they'll say like, spit. I'm like, you might as well just say shit, bro. Like, it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's so
cool. It's the same.
Well, us kind of saying, like, the pussy word when we were singing, because I'm not a pussy. And I was I played it for my mom, and I was like, oh, I kind of, like, flinched a little bit. I was like, oh, I didn't know that.
It's me cutting it right before we said that and sending it to my mom.
Shut up. No, you did not.
I did. Because I was like, I don't need to be so harsh with it. Like, if she sees it online, she sees it online. That's her own
business.
But
you're not going to send it to her.
I'm not
going to
be like, here, mom, you know?
Me playing it for my mother in the kitchen over dinner.
Like, you're like, ooh.
But she goes, you guys sound so good.
Right.
So she absolutely, mom is the first to say, she's like, no, because that is amazing. And you guys sound better than the girls on Broadway. Like, I can't even understand why. My mom preaches that drum of like, you guys are so talented and like I've seen and heard your friends before. Like, and I guess the performers on stage or whatever is not giving what she wants. Like, no offense, not to dive into her, but Selena Gomez, she's like, she can't even sing. Like, oh my God, you guys can sing way better. Like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, thanks so much, mom. I appreciate that.
Right.
But Selena Gomez does not give a shit.
Right. She doesn't give a shoot.
She does not give a fluck. There's not one fluck given here.
Flying fluck.
Dude, fluck. I've never heard that one.
Yeah, there was what the fluck, like shoot, a dang, like all the normal ones, you know.
That's so fluck. It's funny. I'm going to use that actually.
Yeah.
And say that's fuck for another time.
That's flucked. I like that.
Let's
I
get
do like
flucked.
That.
Let's get flucked up. You guys, it's P's birthday. We're getting flucked.
Listen, cheers. Let's get
another one. Cheers.
You guys, at this point, we're going to need a catch-up episode for our catch-up episode. Because we're right. like 20 minutes in and we've said like nothing.
Right. I've not caught up.
But the ranking of curse words.
I think that was important.
Necessary.
Yeah.
And to follow up with that, you know.
No.
Like, is the stories. So we can use the new and improved fluckin' words.
Yeah. So tell us all the dirty fluckin' details about your trips.
Right. She missed it worldwide.
Okay, you guys.
Like,
so the trip started in Aruba. That was my first time there. Never been. Honestly, the most iconic part of that trip was going UTVing all over the island and getting to find like little coves and little places to go swimming. And then I went on a catamaran, first time doing snorkeling.
Wait, is UTVing
the four wheelers. It's less because like the quads, it's like a seating cage. It was more like a car, more safe.
Oh,
okay.
Which was
okay.
good. You know, we were off-roading all over the island. Right. They were like, oh, just make sure you don't avoid those prickly things. If not, it'll be $300. Like, oh, shit. Okay. Anyways.
Right.
So we did catamaraning, went on the boat, was living my Mamma Mia life.
Right.
And then I went scuba diving. And then we got a little too lit on the catamaran. So when we docked, we were at another resort where it picks you up. Oh, my gosh. We ended up, like, being a little litty. And we snuck into the resort slides and slid down their slides. Did the little river rafting and things like that. And that's where I got bit by the goose.
Okay.
I saw the TikTok.
At that resort. Yep. So
the TikTok will be linked below because you need to see it.
The Aruba vlog because Paloma did a vlog and it was fabulous.
Yes.
Oh, thank you guys so much. Good. I know. So I used to actually do travel vlogging like back in the day, like years ago. And so getting back into it felt so nice. Just being like, I just bringing people along for the trip and just like talking about it felt really great. And so I kept it up and I kept it in Singapore. So I must edit that aggressively. That will hopefully be out by the time this comes out. I pray to God.
So both are links in the description.
Yeah, now she has
love
to
that.
Do it.
Yes. And so Aruba was amazing and we went with like the best couple ever. So it was just so nice to be reunited with Ryan's college friends from forever. Cass is in the video. Amazing. Loved it all. Then from there, I flew to Singapore. Okay, you guys. All right. So in Singapore, I attended multiple things, but let me make it brief because there's just so much to cover. Number one, Formula One race. That was a life-changing core memory for me. Absolutely.
Wow.
No, dive into that.
And it kind of gives... I'm trying to think, like, those world games where you just have everyone from all over
like
the
Olympics
world joining. Yeah, it's kind of
like the Disney Channel games.
Thank you, Sierra. Yeah. Like the Disney Channel like games. That. We're all reuniting from different places, different origins. And so as you're walking through the gates, you see people wearing, like, their flag. And so then I saw some people, like, on their back. They had, like, the Mexican flag. And they'd be like, whoa! And I had my racer, which also was representing Mexico. So they'd see me and be like, yeah, woohoo, Mexico.
Right.
So it was already, like, we were already on that vibe. Everyone's got their flags, they're drinking, we're just excited to be here, and there's a zillion people. So before the race actually started, I went to there was like headliners. You had Black Eyed Peas, Kid Laroi, which by the way, Boy Ryan would not stop calling him Kid LaCroix. I'm like, you're so
I'm screaming.
Annoying. He's like, who's this little Kid LaCroix guy? Anyways, sorry. So enjoying the great time at the Kid Laroi concert an hour before the races start. And he's like, oh, yeah, I just came off tour with like my friend Justin Bieber, my best friend. He was name dropping Justin Bieber.
Oh, my God.
Oh, right. I mean, me too, though. Like, I would be like, yeah, my bestie Justin. I wouldn't even say Bieber.
I feel like there are fewer things in life that bother me more than people name dropping casually.
Right.
You know? Like, you're already famous. You're already headlining. Like, is that not enough?
Right.
You have to name drop Justin Bieber?
But do you think that, like, celebrity birthday parties are just, like, that's just, like, a general name drop without having to actually name drop?
Right. Yes, because they have to say the first name. Right? Because they're not going to be like, oh, like, my buddy Justin Bieber. Because then that means they're not that close. They're going to be like, yeah, so I was over at Justin's yesterday. Justin. And then they clarify.
Right.
Justin Bieber.
Right. Yeah.
They have to start with the first name.
And then get the interest like, Justin who?
Oh, Bieber.
Oh, Bieber. You know him?
Yeah.
I do.
See, I feel like that used to be something that impressed me until I went went to like influencer events and stuff, and it's just nonstop.
Yeah.
I think especially with influencers, because they want to like kind of make themselves feel or like make themselves present more like legit.
It gives credibility, I feel like. Yeah. Even like obviously, like in the end, they're like, it just makes me feel like legit, you know, like if you drop them. And that's why he was like, my friend Justin Bieber.
But it's crazy because we all know your song.
And, like, that's his iconic.
I'd get fucked up. We know.
I'd be flucked up.
Oh, flucked up.
If you can't be right.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
sorry.
Mr. Kid LaCroix is on stage and he's like, love being here, Singapore, but it's so hot. Like, and we're like, yeah. Within moments, a dark cloud rolls over the stage starts raining sideways.
Sideways?
Like just heavy wind?
So much rain, so much it was pouring rain, so you felt the rain coming down on you to the left, to the right, up beneath my poncho. Like I'm talking everywhere, you guys. It was raining like insanity. So at first you see people like putting on their ponchos, trying to hide, trying to get ready.
Right.
There was a moment of we kind of realized, oh shit, like, there's no hiding it. Like the event, it's a race. You're at a race. It's going to be outside if you're going to stay. It hasn't even started. So he's like, oh my God, it's red. Like it's raining. And so he's like, I'm going to do my last one and then I'm out of here. So he did the, I'd be fucked up. And so Ryan and I and everyone around us was just like giving Drew Barrymore in the rain. Like, I love rain and I love this moment. And so we just enjoyed ourselves.
Yeah.
Letting it be.
Those stories were crazy.
Yes.
Dude, you were sledging through water.
Is there more footage that you're going to put in the vlog?
I am going to put all of the footage.
Okay, because so I want to see more.
Ankle deep, girl. Like, I couldn't believe.
In the new Nikes, bro.
Oh, my God. Ryan got me these shoes for my birthday because, like, we were spending birthday time together there. And, oh, gosh. They had to stay in the hotel. They couldn't. Ugh. And he scrubbed them when we got home to save them. But they smelled too much like the porta potties. You know, like, I think that picture this, Coachella, like day three. And they've been having races and people there. So there's porta potties. It's pouring rain. It's at the ankle. I'm like, I have to get drunk. Simply, that is the only option to do. So after the Kid LaCroix bar, I'm so sorry.
The fucking Kid LaCroix concert.
So he did his last song. We left and Ryan looks at me and he's like, so what are you doing? I'm like, obviously getting drunk. Like there's no other option. So we run to the bar, literally run. You can hear Black Eyed Peas set. They're doing their last songs too because obviously it's about to end. It's pouring rain. And you just hear, tonight's gonna be a good. And I'm just like, and people are hiding under trash bins. People are hiding under anything they can find to stay dry. I'm like, girl, you can't. So we show up to the bar and Ryan's like, what can I get you? This girl comes in and she's like, I'll have anything, the strongest thing. And I looked at her. I was like, what she's getting? Like, so it was
I love that vibe, though.
It was like a communal,
like a collective
decision of fuck it. Like, so who cares? Yeah. So people were just taking shots, drinking and just having a good time and looking at each other like, man, forget it. So it felt so cool to be around so many people from all over the world. I can't even speak to you. And they're like, oh my God, where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I love this. So, and then the racer that I was there representing Mexico, Checo Perez, ended up winning the race.
Viva la Mexico.
Viva Mexico. So the entire time, it was like going to a football game where the entire time your team is winning. So I was just like, Mexico, Checo, love him. Yeah. So, and then I was like bullying people in the stands. They're upset.
As you should.
Right.
Did you have that moment where you're like, okay, I can either be like, oh my God, my hair's ruined. My outfit's ruined. Like, this sucks. Let's go. Or like, fuck it. We're in the rain. Like, let's go. Like, we just have to
relish
we're here. Yeah. We're here. We're not going to change
Sierra, there was that split. And I think that went through every single person's mind. Yep. We were like, what do we do? Like, we're either hiding, just trying to stay dry or like, and so they actually kept delaying the races due to the rain.
Wow.
So I'm just like drinking and there's water falling into my drink. Like, so it's just like,
I love that.
So by the time the races I simply was as lit as those racers riding around. Like, it was, but it was a great time. And he won. There was fireworks. We went home, got room service because it was just so cold, threw on like the nice comfy thing. And just, I was like, I can't believe I did that. Like this. And we actually didn't even go to Singapore knowing that Formula Race was actually happening.
Really?
So we ended up buying tickets days before. I don't even know what Ryan did. So thank you.
That's like a movie. You know when schoolers are like, last night was a movie. But no, like actually, that's a movie.
No, it was that's a movie.
Actually a movie.
Yeah.
And then from there, I was just on cloud nine. And then Ryan was like, okay, we're going to do a little bit of birthday celebration. Let's go to Sentosa Island, which I didn't know we were going to. And it's near the Universal Studios. So I got to go to Universal Studios Horror Night, which I don't like to get scared. But Ryan was like, forget it. Because we tried to do, actual tea is that Ryan and I tried to go lugeing that night and we climbed this huge hill. I have footage of it. Me being like, I'm lost. We don't know where we are.
What's
we found
lugeing?
It. Lugeing is like when you sit down in these little like wheel things and you pull the lever and it stops you or slows you down. It's like a little racetrack, just slow.
Oh,
it's
that's
not too
not
fast.
Water activities?
No, not water.
Because okay. it's like a dry track, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They have one in, remember when we were in Big Bear and they had like that, and we did the course thing?
Oh my God, we did luge. Yes.
That's like lugeing.
Okay.
Yeah. But just like more open track.
Gotcha.
We showed up and they're like, so sorry, we're sold out. And Ryan and I are sweating bullets. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, please. So he starts trying to give them money. He starts handing the, because she's like some 18-year-old girl. He's like,
right.
Please, like just quickly. And it's like, you really got to do this. But anyways, she's like, so sorry, I can't accept that money. Like, no. So then Ryan's like, oh my God, what now? And I'm like, I mean, we can just go back. He's like, let's go to Universal Studios. Like, forget it. It's nighttime. It's like 7, 8 o'clock. It just started.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, but like, I really don't know.
Scared,
and so then I was like, all right, let's take a shot and then we can go.
So
I ended up somehow magically at Horror Night, which was so iconic.
Ugh.
So cool. I was scared. But let me tell you, it was so cool because like when you'd walk into the mazes, it was like anime or like something cool and different from what we're used to.
Yeah.
Got to ride all the rides, did everything. Iconic. But what we really want to talk about is everything I ate. Okay.
Yes.
Let me tell you.
Actually, I was going to ask about the food situation.
I ate the most amazing kimchi soup of my life. Like I ate it and I was like, I need to kiss the chef. Like
I love kimchi. Also, go watch that TikTok because I saw that one too.
Yeah. So good. And I ate like chicken rice there was this like this steak with curry and just it was just so much eating and drinking and it was such a good time. Like
do you think you want to go back to Singapore?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is something that I absolutely have to go back to do. But I just feel like I want to go back with like friends and people, like you just like a big group or something and like go do something on the
20 whatever takes Singapore.
Say less.
Wait a second.
Less.
We're going to I was like, the first thing that popped into my head was when I was posting my food toast and Steven was like clowning me. I'm like, Steven's going to we're not going to Singapore.
No, you need to tell the story.
Okay, so I received actually not just Steven, but a couple of comments on this toast that I posted because I went to this iconic place called Toast Box and they have like it's like this whipped butter and they have sugar on it. But what's iconic is the kaya toast. It's like a coconut sort of jam.
Okay.
But you can't really see it at first. She's giving really bland. So when I posted it, Steven was like, responded and was like, I don't get it. What's the hype? Next time you guys are filming in the podcast room, I'm just going to bring Wonder Bread and sprinkle some sugar on it. I was like,
it's giving troll.
He's a troll. He's a troll.
He is.
I said, I literally responded with the emoji. The open mouth just... I couldn't believe.
No, right.
How
I mean,
dare
when
you?
When we were having our sleepover and he walked in, he was like, "Sud nerds." I'm like, "Get out of here." Who invited you?
So here's the thing. He plays the hype man in our comments.
He totally does.
Queens. Yes. And then in the DMs, he's like, "What's that, Wonder Bread?"
Dude, in person.
Sup, nerds?
In person, the biggest hater.
Yeah.
The biggest hater.
He's the biggest hater.
He is.
So Steven's going to have to approve us going because if not, he's going to be bullying us the whole time.
Yeah.
But yes, must go back. I'm over the moon. And to wrap my travels up from Singapore, I went to Hawaii for a wedding, spent some time with Ryan's family. And I tried to vlog a lot as much as I could, but it was just so much intimate family time that it just didn't feel as like, you know, I was like, I can't be sharing this. Like we're having moments right now. We're meeting the family of the bride. So it was the weather was amazing. We did paddle boarding. Adorable. Like it was very family time. So
that's
that was
fantastic.
Nice. And then I'm home. That. And it was so nice to come home to the smiling face. She made me cinnamon rolls.
I did. And we got tacos because
I hadn't had tacos in almost 6 weeks. They don't have tacos. I mean, surprising in Singapore or Hawaii or anything. They didn't. No tacos, no jalapenos. Like hot sauce does not exist. They have chili sauce, which is super sweet. I found some, put it on. I was like, this is sweeter than tomato sauce.
Next time you go, you're going to be like in your carry-on, like Aqua from Cheetah Girls with like the hot sauce.
Literally.
I actually, embarrassingly enough to admit, I bought mini packets of sriracha and Valentina, but they didn't arrive from Amazon in time. But they are at the at my home in box.
So you have them for next time.
So for next time, ladies.
Yeah. That's something that I've heard from so many friends who like moved away from San Diego for college is just like realizing how lucky we are with how amazing the Mexican food is here.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
we take it for granted.
No, dude, when I moved to New York, I was like, I don't even want anyone to say that they have a great Mexican spot. I was like, because I don't care. And it's not.
Yep.
So like, I just won't eat it. So I didn't eat Mexican food for 2 years because I was like, why?
I know. To be disappointed. When New York City, what do you do?
To be disappointed. You just don't. You don't. I just didn't.
Oh my gosh.
I just didn't.
My friend Corey moved to Montana for college. And she was like, yeah, when I moved here, there's a Mexican food restaurant. And everyone was like, oh my God, you're from San Diego. Like, you're going to love it. This place is like so authentic.
Ass.
Like, so good.
Ass.
Trash. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was like, disgusting.
Mm-mm. We're spoiled. We are spoiled here.
We're spoiled. And a lot of the like San Diego, like Mexican food is really like Cali Mexi food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where it's like California burritos.
Yeah. Right?
Like that's
right.
not like. Mexican right. food.
Yeah. Burritos aren't Mexican.
I was gonna say, yeah, so. You won't find that in Mexico.
Like,
you simply, you'd be like, oh, can I get a little burrito California? They'd be like, what are you talking about?
Like, you can have a taco.
Yeah.
With no French fries in it.
But like the good
like, potatoes on here?
Hole yeah. in the wall Mexican food restaurants here that are like so owned good. By like small business, like Mexican families.
Yes.
So good.
Yeah. Well, what's the taco place that we have like near the border? I'm Tacos Al Gordo.
Oh, yes.
Yes. They yes, have the yes, green yes. sauce, and it's so good. You know when you get that guac green sauce, you're like, listen, what is in this?
It's and crack. It's like creamy.
It's crack, yeah.
Yes.
Listen.
Oh, God.
Listen. Well,
Ryan oversaw me looking at a picture of tacos while we were in Singapore, and he was like, what are you looking at? And I had to be like, these tacos. And he was like, oh, my gosh, the way you are making eyes like, with this
it's like
phone.
Porn. You're like no, hiding
literally.
It.
Yes,
you're like, don't look at my phone.
Paloma's yes. drooling. She's like.
Sierra, yes, he had to be like, what are you, that I was like, I'm so sorry, I'm drooly, like, I'm start wiping the corners of my mouth.
Right, right. So, of course, she arrived, and I was like, tacos? And she was like, say less.
Yeah. Okay, Ryan, so what have you been doing while I've been gone?
Yeah. The route to take. At first, I was like, this is everything. Like
mom and dad are gone.
Yeah,
party
exactly.
time.
No, mom and dad are gone. Like I have the house to myself. Like I'm doing the thing. And I really, really love that. Like I'm a big fan. I love being alone. I love just doing whatever I want and knowing that nobody's like looking at me or like talking about me, thinking about me. Like I love that. And it was great. And I got a lot of shit done. I filmed so much. I was vlogging like there was no tomorrow.
Yeah, you were like churning out.
You were doing like two videos a week, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And Instagram. And yeah. like, and you're real on the stuff for me and for 20 whatever.
Yes, 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 yes. So I was like, really, because I wasn't respectfully distracted by you.
No, so respectfully. Sierra, like I wake up in the morning and I'm like, good morning.
She's
come
like,
hang
knock,
out with
knock,
me.
Knock, knock. I'm like, bro.
Yeah, yeah. So like, that is so fair. Like,
so I got a lot of shit done and I was churning out the content and I was really able to like focus on what I wanted to do and like all of my, you know, I was like, okay, I can focus. I can do this. I can do that. So I did a lot of that. And then I came to San Diego for like 10 days because I was staying with my mom and my sister. And I came here. I was working a lot. We were doing a lot of things, a lot of photo shoots, which was great. And then I went back. And that's when things started to feel a little bit different. Like I went back to LA and I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to film. I'm going to do this and that. And then I started to feel like really bad.
Mm.
And I don't know, like, yeah, I think I was lonely, but not in the way that I like, oh, I'm literally alone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm lonely. Not in that kind of sense, but I was like, I don't even really have anyone to like chat with passively.
Yeah.
Like I have to make plans to FaceTime somebody I have like two best friends that live in the East Coast and obviously they live in the East Coast, so it's 3 hours ahead. And I'm like, I have to make plans to chat with them. And I was like, there's nobody that I can just like say one sentence to, like a one liner and like head out.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of just like me trying to process that and like, okay, am I actually lonely or am I just bored? Which chronically always bored. It's giving ADHD. But I was like, okay, well, I need to just like do something that like fulfills that and like, you know, just like something that's not going to make me feel lonely and sad or whatever. And I couldn't really find what that was. So I just spent a lot of time in my apartment just like sitting.
Like,
thinking.
Was it quiet? Were you watching shows? Were you playing
yeah,
music?
It was, well, I had music on. I had shows on. but it still felt quiet.
Well, you didn't have a loud ass Paloma in the background, like, no. Hey, girl.
No, yeah.
I mean, yeah, naturally the house will be.
It was
like,
rough.
There's no one to like sing along to the music with you. There's no right. one who's laughing at the things on the show.
Yeah.
So even though it's not silent, it's still quiet.
It's still quiet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I didn't have anyone to be like, and especially because I was doing some, I was going through some boy stuff. Some boy struggles, and I was like, wow, it would be so convenient if Paloma wasn't asleep right now because it's 2 a.m. in Singapore.
I know, that time change really messed us
that
up.
That was like bad. Like, we would FaceTime, but it would literally be for like 30 minutes.
And my lights are off. Like, we're
she's going
dark.
To bed, and I just woke up.
No, yeah. You were like waking.
Yeah, no, I would be like, hey, good morning. It's 8 o'clock, and you're like, good night, and I'm like, tight.
And I usually wake up pretty early. So, like, yeah. I'm up at 7 a.m. and it was, what, like 4 or 5 your time? Like, it's p.m. You're done with work.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be like not. And you also had things to do. So it was just like the person that I would go to for things was just on a different time, like literally across the world and just like busy. And I was like, okay, you know, whatever. And so I felt that heavily.
Yeah.
While I was gone. And I was like, should I be living alone? Like, I had because I've told you before, like, I'm so excited. Like, at some point I'm going to live by myself and I'm gonna do this whole thing, which I do think I would like to do. But I think I came to the conclusion that I needed to have like hobbies
and like a social circle outside
social
of your
hobbies.
House. Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's the thing. When you live alone, if you and Paloma aren't living together anymore,
we can still hang out.
You're still going to hang out all the time. It's not like she's on a different continent,
right?
You know,
right?
And was that the same time that we had to cancel your second trip down to San Diego because I got sick?
Yes.
So that probably made it even worse because you're like, oh, I'm going to come down to San Diego and then I'm sick, and so we rescheduled it.
Yeah, that was it. And I was like, damn. Like, I was like ready to be like, oh my god, I'm going to powwow and I'm going to like hang out with the girls and do this whole thing. And I was like, damn, I can't even like do that. And I knew that I like didn't want to be like home because I wasn't trying to like hang out with my parents or anything. Like, I didn't want somebody that bad. Respectfully, mom, I know you listen to the podcast.
Right. It's like, love you, mom and dad.
Like, I love you, but like, I was looking for just like pals. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was like really hard. And so I came to the conclusion, I was like, and that's where I was like, I need to be in a show or something. Because even all the years before, like moving to LA prior to the pandemic, my social interactions came from theater, like spending my time with you, spending my time with everybody in the cast, going out to dinner, and then like after the show, like my rehearsals, like it was just,
that's our community though.
And
you know, that's your family and friends.
Theater socialization is like a 10 on the scale of like how much socialization there is, how much talking.
It's too much.
Yeah Because you literally go from rehearsal, whatever, to dinner just to talk about what you did at rehearsal to
And everyone's over the top and everyone's talking
it
over
has
each
so
other.
Many emotions.
Yeah.
And just
And like, obviously, while that's not like the average amount of social interactions people have, like, I miss that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss it so much. And I didn't realize how much that impacted me. And like, I was starting to feel really just like low.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, listen.
She literally said, if you ever leave me again, Paloma, I swear to God.
Yeah. I was like, don't do that shit again. And if you're going to do it, just take me with you. And we will explain to Ryan what the circumstances is later.
Which, side note, thanks to Ryan, I had a suitcase because the day before left for my trip, I realized that I forgot to bring all my suitcases. Were here in San Diego at my parents' house in their garage. And all I had was my little mini pink one. And I said, Ryan looked at me and he goes, what other suitcase are you bringing? I said, oh, no, this one. He's like, you're going for I don't know how many weeks. And I was like, my feet just like disappeared from underneath me. I didn't know what I was thinking. And I looked at Ryan. I was like, do you have a suitcase? Like, to go to the store, mall, whatever, right now? Like, we're leaving tomorrow.
Right.
She's like, oh my God, take my suitcase. So I snatched her suitcase for this whole time.
Yeah.
So there was a part of Ryan with me always. I'm like, she's like, my suitcase got to go with you and not me. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it had the little Great Wolf Lodge like chain.
Oh,
on,
yeah.
Like,
it had the Crayola chain.
Shut up.
So when we went to Great Wolf Lodge, they gave us like a bunch of like Crayola, like, oh, because it was like the 50th anniversary or something.
Yes, it was
of Crayola,
a like influencer thing called Clamor, where one of the sponsors was Crayola, so they gave us like all this Crayola swag.
No, dude, and I took so much
like
of it.
Sounds like an oxymoron.
Crayola swag.
Yeah,
actually, though. So I had this little like
Crayola
keychain
on the suitcase, so you could tell the difference. So every time that thing popped out of the thing, I was like, ah, Crayola, there she is.
There she is. Yeah. So I was really feeling it, but then I felt like it was just an opportunity for me to be like, okay, you recognize this thing. Maybe we tried, and I talked about this talked to you about this before when I was like, oh, you know, Maddie's on a volleyball team, adult volleyball team. You're like, oh, yeah, soccer. And I'm like, okay, like maybe there's an opportunity for me to like be around people who want to do stuff that I want to do to like enhance my social interaction. Like I can't rely on Paloma forever, which like I can and I will. So don't get it twisted. But there are opportunities that I can like, you know, like find and like reach out to that I can do more things with people. And I am a people person. Like as much as I love being alone, I love being around people, and being alone made that very, very clear.
And which is crazy because like that wasn't a weekend that you went out. Like, and I think it would have been different if she spends her weekends like, go, you know, like we go out even without me, like obviously you go out. So it's, you extremely felt it specifically because if not, you would have been out like with your cousin or your friends or being in LA going
out. And I just didn't go out. And I think I normally, like that would have been like my go-to.
Right.
Like, oh, I don't, Paloma's out here. I got to go out. I got to do this and I got to do that. But that was also the week where I was like starting to change what my priorities were. Mm. So I was like, I need to really think about what I'm doing.
You're in your feels a little bit.
I was very much in my feels. And I had actually talked to my mom a lot on the phone during that time. Like she would call and I'd be like, hey. And normally like I would call Paloma to like talk about how I was feeling. But like my mom would call and I was like, Mom, Paloma's asleep. So
Well, that's special.
I do feel closer to my mom now being like having been alone and like she, and I think obviously she knew I was alone.
Yeah. Right.
So she was like, let me check in on the girl because is she alive? But yeah, but it felt good. I think after when you came back and we got to talk, I was like, I just know that I need to spend more time outside of the apartment. I also like didn't really leave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time inside.
That's the hard part too about working remote and working from home.
Yeah.
Is, you know, you could go work at a coffee shop, but you don't have to. Mm-hmm. There's no office you have to go into. You're not clocking in, right? Yep. You just have like the tasks that you have to do, and it's totally up to you, like when you do it and how you do it.
Yeah.
And that can be wonderful in some ways, but also really, really isolating.
100%. It was almost like, every other day I was like, okay, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to go to this coffee shop and I'm going to work and I'm going to vlog and I'm going to do this thing. And then I would wake up and like start getting ready and be like, to go to a coffee shop?
Yeah.
And spend $6 on a coffee? When I can just...
Lies, it would be $10 on a coffee.
You're right.
$20 on an avocado toast.
No, you're right. It's giving LA. But it's... And I talked myself out of it so many times because I was like, I could just be at home. Like, why? I'm doing the same shit. Like, why do I have to do and go? But... honestly, looking back, I should have. I should have at least just gone outside. I should have just like went
seen
and
the humans.
Done the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just didn't.
Do you feel like vlogging makes that better or worse? Because some I find it both ways sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, oh, well, I want to vlog. So like I should go to this coffee shop.
Yeah.
You know, because that's like a thing to do for the vlog.
Yeah. Yeah.
But other times it's like, oh, I don't know if I'm in like the headspace for this.
Yeah.
And so do I. It's deciding. Do I want to be vulnerable and say where I'm at and how I'm feeling and possibly open those sensitive emotions up to an audience who may or may not be well receiving of it?
Yeah.
You're so right about that.
Do I fake it?
Mm-hmm. You know? And go and be like, hey guys,
you're so right, Sierra, because picture this, like Ryan was like feeling these emotions and all of a sudden Ryan gets to the coffee shop and she's like, hey guys, so like I'm this, like that was that would have been a choice to been like, I am getting myself out of the house because I'm feeling lonely, yada yada yada. But you're so right about that.
I for the first time in this vlog that's gonna come out today that you're watching this, it's out,
so. Link in the description.
I like talk about how I'm sad.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I've actually ever opened up about that kind of stuff online where I was like, I'm not doing well and I'm sad and I'm by myself and I don't really know. I can't pinpoint what the issue is, but I'm not feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was open about that. And that was like truly the first time I've ever really talked about that. And it was helpful because I felt like I was being honest with my audience, which they always talk about. They're like, you are so real, you're so honest, and I'm like, I just need to keep this shit up.
Yeah,
but that was the first time I was like emotionally
like
vulnerable online,
which especially for you I feel like is hard because you want to put up
the front. I'm already in person, like I'm fine all the time, I'm happy, like I'm living life, like it's fine, but to be open about how I was feeling on like online for everyone to see and watch multiple times repeatedly was a lot.
Do you feel like it helped you process it? Because you, if you're saying it to an audience, you're also saying it to yourself.
Yeah.
And you can't pretend that everything's okay.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. And I was like talking through it because I was like, hey, I'm like not feeling okay. And I don't really know why, but I think maybe it's this and maybe it's that. And I kind of, I worked through it with myself on camera.
Yes.
So.
Which like I find myself doing so much and I'm like, is this healthy? Maybe not. But, it genuinely helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it forces you to say, if you're trying to explain how you're feeling to an audience, that then is forcing you to go into your brain and be like, why am I feeling this way? What's the root of this? What's
because
causing
I have
this?
To explain it. Like I'm literally about
exactly.
to talk. Yeah. You know, when you're living life, you kind of just like, oh, all right, well, next. But if you're on camera, really you're like, I have to explain to you quite literally the plot. And the
finish
plot is,
yes. Yeah.
And the plot is, I'm not doing well.
Right. No, I am 100%. Yeah. And I remember you came home and I was like, dude, I had a breakdown on the vlog. Like it was crazy. And you were like, what the fuck? I was like, yeah, dude, like I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay. Very happy right now because you're home. But not doing well. But yeah, that was probably like what I took away the most. And like to make it, to summarize it and to make it a little bit happier, I just know that I just need more social hobbies.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Not me trying to make content out of everything. I was going to be like, we should do a video where we like try to help you find fun hobbies. But like, it doesn't have to be a video. We can just.
But also we could.
We like, can just. Because you used to play basketball. We should join a basketball league together.
Maybe we should.
That'd be so fun.
I would love it. And I need something.
Yeah.
Because also I'm not. I need some sort of physical activity too. That's the other thing too.
Yeah.
I realized I was like, I haven't moved. I walk from
and
here
to the
kitchen.
And you get that at rehearsal.
Kitchen.
We would dance. I mean, even at dance.
Exactly.
When we're doing choreo, our
social.
Our choreographer would be like, oh, we're working out before.
Yeah.
I still remember during Grease, before we even did anything, Jaden's covering her mouth because she can't even believe what we were put through.
Right.
They were like, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we are doing push-ups, sit-ups, squats. Like we are working out for 20 minutes and then we're doing choreo.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what they say, exercise increases endorphins. Endorphins make people happy and happy people just don't kill. They don't kill their husbands. They just don't.
They
just don't.
They don't.
Yeah. So physical activity, literally singing, things I love to do, dancing I love to do. And I'm like, I just need to go to like a dance class. I just need to like get my shit together.
Yeah.
Maybe a Zumba class.
Zumba.
Ooh, okay, I love Zumba.
Dude, I really actually want to go.
Love, I've never done.
My gym does it every Wednesday. So, we could go tomorrow.
I would actually be down too.
Jess goes to the same gym as me and we each get a guest. So we could all go.
I would
not
love.
Not us going to a Zumba.
Do
I've
I
been
wear
wanting
a dress?
Everyone, honestly,
my
people
head,
wear
Zumba's
like I mean, honestly, it might help you like get into it.
Okay.
Like a little skirt or something.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm so sorry you went through that. And I am so sorry that like me getting sick added to that.
Please.
No, but really, but because that would have taken you out of the apartment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that I feel like is one of the hard things too about like you being you being in LA and then us like shooting in San Diego and me being in San Diego is like it's so fun that we all get to get together for like 2 days, 3 days straight and like shoot all these episodes.
Right.
But also it's hard because like in the interim, like I do feel so removed from you guys.
Yeah. And or we like, could be like, hey, I'm like not doing well. Like, can I come over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's a 3 hour train ride.
Right.
Yeah.
So and I'm like, how do we get past that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how can I be a better friend and be there for you in those moments when I can't physically be there?
But I think you are a good friend, even though we're not able to like be together like in person all the time. Because when I did come, it was like, oh my God, thank God.
You felt better.
Yeah.
I'm really glad.
And even when we like obviously we like text and stuff, and I feel great when we do. Like it's not obviously, you're not like an immediate friend that I can like see and hang out with like immediately. But like when I do come, I'm like, oh, okay, we're good. We're fine.
And,
okay.
Honestly, but that like shows like something that we all go through. I feel at least personally, same. You know, there's always those weekends where you kind of like sit at home and you're by yourself or spend like a couple of days and you like check online because what else am I doing?
Right.
And you're like, everyone's having so much fun without me. Am I alone? Like, am I doing enough? And that's when those questions start raising where you're just scrolling and scrolling and you're at home.
Yeah.
And you just don't know. I mean, me, I obviously online, I've been traveling, live, laugh, breathe air. Ryan's like, I miss you. I'm like, I miss you sick too. And yeah. But I'm across the world. But I'm like, when Ryan would go to work, like I'm by myself. I'm just yeah. walking around looking like, and I felt like I did. And then you guys were going to have the Halloween, like events were going to happen. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm missing out. I'm missing yeah. out with friends. So. Yeah. It's so interesting.
That yeah. was the one benefit of me getting sick. So we were supposed to do this right. like Halloween team girls night at my house at the beginning of October. And then I got sick and we had to reschedule. And we rescheduled it for the day Paloma got back. Mm-hmm. So Paloma got to come.
Yeah.
So that was really,
which was iconic. Really fun.
I know, being a part of that. And that was, I was like, I'm so sad that Sierra had to get sick for me to be here. But I'm so glad that it got rescheduled because yeah. I was in Singapore at like a different time zone. And I'm like, I wish I was there. They're going to have so much fun. I miss my friends. I haven't yeah. been home. I was getting homesick, you know?
Yeah. I was going to ask, did you get homesick?
The moments where I really was just by myself, I mean, I think obviously that's when it happens, when you're not distracted or anything like mm-hmm. that and you're just left with your own thoughts.
Yeah.
And I was different time zone, no one to text or anything like that. So that's when you feel it. And right. you're just like, you run out of scrolling and you're just kind of like, oh my I'm gosh, just here. It's just me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you felt that way when I was across the world. Like, yeah. you know,
yeah.
like
I felt did. Alone. And I felt, and I especially realized genuinely, and like not to like make it dramatic, but like I realize how much I do rely on you
mm-hmm.
for most things.
Yeah.
At this point, honestly, everything. I'm like, she makes me happy. She, you know, like she makes me laugh. You know, I'm not bored. Like she's my source of entertainment. Like it's all the things we work together. Like it's all the things that yeah. I was like, I didn't realize how much you were genuinely involved in my life more than just like living with me and being my best friend. I was like, damn, like,
aww.
I need to get a life.
Paloma is the life.
Paloma is the life. And I was very much like, okay, so we need to work on that. But I think the great things that came out of this like break that we had was that I became a YouTube partner.
Yes.
Oh my yes. gosh. Wait, yes. I got to put my drink down so I can clap for you. Because no. I am, hold on. I'm so balanced.
Wait a minute.
You got it.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, guys.
That is a huge milestone.
Thank you so much.
So for those who don't know, to become a YouTube partner where your videos are monetized and you can make money from it, you have to have 2,000 hours of watch time.
4,000.
It's 4,000 now?
It's 4,000.
Oh, shit.
Shut up. It's I didn't 4, know 000. They upped it.
It's 2,000 subscribers,
4,000 hours.
I so want that's, to kill myself.
Right. That's not just views, right? That's not 4,000 views.
No, it's watch hours. It's not views.
Right. And yeah. so if, let's say you post a 10-minute video and an average view duration is like 50%, so 5 minutes, and that gets 1,000 views, that would be 5,000 watch minutes.
Right.
You need 4,000 watch hours. That yeah. is so much.
Yeah.
God help me.
yeah.
And you got there so fast.
I remember watching it like, I don't know how I'm going to get, because like, even if somebody watches your video for 3 minutes, that doesn't equate to an hour. Like,
no.
And I don't post videos that are an hour. So even if somebody watched an entire hour, which like, who's to say they will? Like, I was like, how am I going to get there? Like, this is crazy. Yeah, so that happened while we had this break, and I was so shocked. I remember texting you like, "I'm good. I can apply now. Like it's this whole thing."
I actually cried. I was at the zoo with Grace when I saw that text, and I literally was like crying.
Stop it!
I am so. I'm gonna cry.
Oh my gosh!
I'm gonna cry.
I am so proud of you. I believe in you so much, and I knew you would get there. But the dedication you have, you only started like really posting regularly, taking YouTube seriously, what, 4 months ago?
Yeah.
And look April, how fast you March. Got here. People work for years to get to that point. And you dedicated yourself. You committed to yourself. And not only did you make those hours, but those are all hours of like quality content. Like your content is so good.
Thank you so much.
And this is just the beginning.
Thank you.
I'm
I
so
know.
Proud.
I'm shocked because the video that's doing like the best right now is the Q&A video, which is insane because I was like, this is boring. Like, it's just me sitting on my bed, like answering questions. But that is the video that has the most views,
wow.
the most comments, the most engagement. And all the comments are like, you're just so real. Like, thank you for being honest about shit. And I'm like, I didn't think anyone cared about this at all. Like, at all.
They love you when you're being you and being yourself. Yeah.
That's the thing. The content doesn't matter. It's the person.
Yeah. Mm.
They could care less about what you're doing. If you're answering questions, cleaning your room, whatever. It's who you are.
Yeah.
That is the line that drives through no matter what content you're doing, because you're always you. And that is like the most powerful kind of content you can make, is content that's just you, because you could decide in a year that you want to be a freaking like gamer.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it wouldn't matter, because people are there for you. They're not there because you're doing a certain type of content. And that is so powerful and so hard to build.
Thank you so much. I feel so emotional about it, because I'm like, me 7 years ago, like grinding and doing this whole thing and doing this whole thing, never thought like I was going to get there, which is why I quit for so long. And now that I'm here, I'm like, okay, like it feels so worth it to me. And everyone, like all of you guys and everyone else who subscribed to my channel and like leaves comments, like it is so, like I'm recognizing people now, which is another thing which I talked about. I'm like, it's crazy to like notice people who you don't actually know.
But you recognize the username.
You recognize the username and their little icon. And I'm like, oh my God, I've seen you. Like, hey, bitch, you're my bitch. Like, I love to see it. So it's just been wild. And I'm so happy and excited. And I feel so privileged to have the time to vlog and do the thing that I really do love, and like I love it so much, and I love all of it, and I'm just so happy, and having, again, respectfully, not a distraction,
right?
I've been able to like actually like edit when I say I'm gonna edit and like do all the things and all the stuff, and I'm blessed. So yeah, that's the highs and the lows, but at the end of the day, I figured out the problem for the lows. And I just need to like act on that. And I'm feeling really good. So I'm really happy to be back.
Yeah.
It's been a minute. I'm very happy to be back. I miss you guys so much. And
I'm so happy to be on this couch right now with you guys. No, dude, this is amazing.
Like, it feels frickin' like home. Too.
Yeah.
It feels like home with great lighting.
And you know, the other thing, we literally just a couple days ago booked our end of year retreat with the team.
Oh my God.
Y'all not ready for this.
No. Which is when we came up with the idea,
and when you guys met,
when we met,
I told Tia, I was like, our one year anniversary. Can you believe 1 year? But also, like, to think about Big Bear being almost a year ago blows my mind. It feels like it just happened.
It's so funny that you guys say that, because I actually feel the exact opposite.
Really?
Maybe it's like the mom thing, that I feel like now that I have a child, time runs differently in my brain.
Okay, right.
But it feels like so long ago. Like the idea that Paloma and I have only been friends for a year.
Right.
Like that's absurd. Like I feel like you know, like the deep darkest parts of my soul. And I'm like, how has that only been a year?
That part I can agree upon. I feel like I've known you much longer, but I feel like Big Bear just happened. And so that shows you how different time I think feels, you know? Where it's like, how is it just Big Bear? But I feel to get like, and even Grace, like she's grown much. God, like Grace was so little.
Baby.
That's a huge part of it too. She was 6 months old.
And she wasn't even like, yeah, she was there, but she wasn't like doing anything. Like she was just vibing.
Yeah, she hadn't even started crawling yet.
Yeah,
she was sitting up and that was it.
Yeah,
she was sitting up and she was smiling, and like, and now she is just such a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's so her own person, and like she has her own personality, and she's changing so much every day that even like, even though I keep saying Big Bear, but we're going to Palm Springs for the retreat this year.
Yes.
Even though Palm Springs is only like a month and a couple weeks away, I'm like, I don't even know what Grace will be like then.
I was going to say, she's going to be running that place.
Yep.
She's like, hello, thank you guys so much for coming.
Welcome to my channel. I said,
The hostess.
I know. We're like, Steven and I are still deciding if we want to bring her and then have my parents come too, so that like they can help with her, because that's what they did last year. And it was great because like we still got to be with her. But also then I was still breastfeeding.
It was like a need for her.
Yeah.
And now we actually just a couple weeks ago did our first night away together, Stephen and I, because I had done two nights away separately while Stephen was home with Grace. And then he had done two nights away while I was home with Grace.
Right.
But she had never stayed the night with someone else.
Mm.
And now she has. And it went great. She stayed at my parents' house. It was like she just had the time of her life.
I love that.
When she's like, you know, when you're grandma and papa's, like, that's just like so fun, especially for them to like having a little sleepover getaway.
Yeah, they loved it. She loved it. She was like,
happy when we got back, but not sad. I genuinely did not know how she was going to react.
Yeah. Okay, sometimes they cry.
Yeah.
Like, how could you leave type cry?
Right. Yeah, no, right.
So we walked in when we came back and she just like looked at us, smiled, laughed, ran over and brought us a toy.
Awesome.
And then like went back to playing and we're like, okay, cool. You're amazing. Excited to see us, but you're not like overcome
right
with
right.
emotion.
She's just yeah. like, oh, hey guys, I missed you. What's so up? Look what back. I've been hanging out. Look at yep. what I've been playing with.
Yeah.
And she just started like giving hugs all the time. Like she loves to give hugs. So like she ran up and like gave us a hug.
Aww.
And that was like super sweet. Cause it was like, okay, you're like, you're happy, you're excited that we're back, but you had fun.
Yeah. yeah. You weren't like sobbing the whole time.
Yes. So yeah. we're still deciding if, because Big Bear, I keep saying Big Bear, Palm Springs, like we are going to be there for two nights. So it's like, okay, we could easily, you know, leave Grace with my parents or Steven's parents and it would be totally okay. Or do we want to bring her? But then like, it's a different vibe for us where Steven and I are definitely not as like likely to like let loose, you know, when we're yeah. still in parent mode.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So we're deciding. But regardless, in December, she's going to be like a whole different kid.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel also like she's got words.
Yeah.
She's got some words.
She's got words. She's got her signs. She's like very communicative now.
Very. Aww.
She said Ryan's name yesterday.
She did. And I think I got it on the vlog.
She said.
I think I did.
She doesn't say her R's, but she looked right at you. She pointed. She said, Ein.
Yeah.
Ein.
Yeah.
You're like, boom.
And I was like, oh my God.
And then she gave you a hug when we left.
And then she gave me a hug.
No,
dude, it was crazy. Oh, it was crazy. Oh. It's crazy. No, I'm fully obsessed. Every time I come here, I'm like, hey, Sierra, where's Grace? Hey, everybody. Yeah. Where's Grace?
Where's Grace?
And where is?
Yeah. And where is Grace?
Aww.
Downstairs.
Aww. She is downstairs.
Yeah, but I'm excited to see her after the episode.
Yeah.
But it is crazy just in this time since we last filmed. I feel like she was a toddler before. I think the definition of toddler is like after one when they're like walking, toddling around, whatever. She is now like a toddler. And I think I've realized this, at least so far, is the stage of motherhood that I feel like I'm built for.
Really?
I am
right now.
Right now. I am
okay.
loving it.
This is what I was built
yes.
for, baby.
Right.
I look back at having a newborn and I'm like, then of course I thought it was like so special. Of course I was so happy to have her. But I wasn't like thriving in motherhood. You know, I was like, I was surviving and I was enjoying it. But now I'm just like, oh my, I feel like all the weird quirks about my personality and who I am really fit so well with toddlerhood.
Like, yeah. like I'm meant for this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just feel like I was built for it.
And just seeing her personality. Like, yes. you know, like you see those little things and you're like, oh my God, I love that. You love that. What was that one video that you posted that you were singing? And then she was like, more. And it's like, all right, mom, that's cool.
Yeah.
What was it? It was Jonas Brothers.
Whenever I sing to her. It doesn't matter what it is. Whenever I sing to her when she's going to sleep, she lays down on my shoulder. And if I stop even for like a second, like even if it's just like a pause in the song, like the song's not over, she sits up, she looks at me and she puts up one finger, like one more. And she goes one. And then she signs more, like one. And so I'll say like, do you want one more song? And she nods and then goes right back to sleep on my shoulder.
How do you not keep singing?
I know.
I said, babe, I'll give you the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right. She said, it's a full soundtrack, girl.
And that feels so sweet just knowing. And now you're like, I don't honestly give a care if anyone likes my voice or not, as long as Grace likes it. Yep. Like in that moment, you're like, Grace loves it. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think also I'm realizing right now that it's as sad as it is, this stage of motherhood is such a small blip in her life before she's in school. But when she's old enough to like enjoy experiences, like she'll start preschool when she's like 3 and a half. And then from there, then on, she's going to be in school for the rest of her, you know, child years.
Not life.
But yeah, but
her rest of her life.
Really?
But yeah.
And I'm realizing like this is the time where we can wake up and go, what do we want to do today? There's nothing you have to do. Like her job right now is just to explore the world.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Right?
Sierra's such a cool mom. Like, that is so, like, anytime you talk about it, it makes, like, not that I'm not, like, looking forward to children or anything, but it's just, like, not on my mind. But when you speak about it, it makes me so excited and so,
that's tea.
You know, like, the way she's, but maybe she's just so special.
Well,
because
no,
the way,
I feel that. I don't even want kids. And I'm like, but if I did,
see the way Sierra talks about it and she is with Grace and just how you, I'm like, that's so beautiful. And I want that. And that's so, I mean, that is the reason why we're like, you're like, kids is obviously not easy. Like, that is not an easy job, but it's so worth it. And
yeah,
we don't have children, so we don't know what that's
also,
like.
But also, I feel like if you're going to do it, like, so obviously, you don't always have the option. Like, you either have to or you don't. But it's like, if there's a way for you to do it in a certain way, like, for me, like, I'm looking like, this is how I would want to do it if I have to have a baby and if that's what I want or whatever, like, this is what I want to do.
No, I'm dead ass.
We talk about it all the time.
Yeah, we're like, oh, we need to get no space. Just even you teaching her sign language has been such a thing that I'm like, my child will absolutely know
I've never seen a more communicative, like, 2-year-old in my life.
Yeah, because of you, Sierra.
Is she even 2?
No, she's 16 months.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, right.
But thank you, guys. Like, I went into motherhood knowing I was excited for it, right? We had been trying for like over a year. Yeah. I was so excited, but I didn't go in with like a clear view of the kind of mom I was going to be. Mm. You know, like, there's a lot of like schools of thought of motherhood, of parenting in general, especially online. It's like, are you going to do like Montessori, like gentle parenting, like this or that? Like, there's very specific things. And I feel like we've just really drawn a lot from a lot of different things on like what works for us. And it all feels so theoretical in the beginning, you know, because it's like, oh, I want to teach Grace ASL because I took sign language in college and like I've heard it's great for kids to learn.
Yeah. Right.
But you don't really know until you're doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, oh, I want to like my one thing that's really important to me is like to always treat my child like they're a full person.
Yeah.
You know, and not like they're just a baby or like that they're just my like my property.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, I always want to treat her like she's her own person. And it's one of those things that you can say, but then once you're in it and you see how it works, it is so rewarding. And to like see her and like the choices that I'm making in parenting really pay off, mm-hmm. and see her and how well she can like express herself to me.
Yeah.
It just makes me feel like this is what I was meant to do in my life. And I don't think I really felt it to this level until a couple months ago, because she's changed so much. And like, even yesterday, like, I took her on a walk at the park and like she wanted to like go off the path and like pick up a stick. And I'm like, sure, like, go get the stick.
Right.
Why not?
Right.
Like, let's do it.
Right.
And it's just cool to see like her little face light up when I'm like, sure, you can go pick up the stick. And she's like, I can pick up the stick.
Yeah.
And she like runs over there and she picks it up and she's so excited. And it's just cool to see. It's cool to see the way that she looks at and responds to Steven and I.
Yeah.
And will you guys allow that and you gift her the opportunity to explore? Because there's so many times where their parents are like, no, don't. Like, it's just like a word, you know, you're like, no, don't jump in the muddy puddles. No, don't touch that stick. No, this. And the way you are, you're always just like, oh, let's see. Like, let's explore this. As a collective, like you and her, and like supervising.
If it's a no, why?
Yeah. The way you speak with her is just, she understands. And I think that that's why she is so understanding, because she's like, right, no, okay, I can't touch that because that will hurt me. Oh, it's not going to hurt me? Then I can explore it. And that's so cool that you are understanding of that concept and allow your kid to
explain
just,
to her, like, no doesn't have, that's not the end all be all. Like, as a parent, you're like, if I say no, then no, whatever. That's your whole, that's your business. But to be like, no, because.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that frustrated me so much as a child.
Same.
Is just being told no because I'm the parent.
And because I said so.
Because I said so. Or
not
from,
good enough, babe.
Not really so much for me, from my parents, because my parents were pretty chill, but like teachers especially. I felt like no because I'm the boss.
Yeah.
And I never liked that. And so even though Grace is literally a baby still.
And like, she's not asking why.
She's not asking why. It's I feel like as she gets older, that's something that's really important to me. And actually something I've realized the past couple months is just how much I'm enjoying this stage, and having only one child makes it a lot easier to cater to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if I had like a newborn or another baby, I have two that I have to balance. It's actually made Steven and I decide that we want to push off having a second by a couple months and just kind of like, you know, take it day by day. Like, we don't have a specific timeline, but I thought that by this time, with the age gap, that I would be probably pregnant or we would be trying right now. And I've just realized like, I want to sit in this season a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And you get to just completely put your attention to her and just be like, baby, what do you need? What do you want to see? Let's do it.
Yeah, because there's no one
else.
Yeah. It's just me and you.
So, and I feel the same way, but like from someone who has the perspective of being an only child for such a long time, I did appreciate all the time I got with my parents before my siblings were born.
Yeah.
And like, obviously like, siblings are an amazing thing and I love my siblings. We all do. We all have siblings and we all love them. But it's like, if you have the moment to remember what it was like without a sibling and like the moments you have with your parents, like it means so much because you'll never get it again.
Yeah.
Like once you have siblings, you have siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like what I appreciate the most watching you parent is just like you said, like Grace is her own person. Your job as a parent is to like make sure she like is fed and like doesn't die, you know, and like learns to be like a person.
Yeah.
But like she's still her own person. And just because she's a baby doesn't mean that like she is literally a product of who you want her to be.
Yeah.
She's going to be who she wants to be. And that's very clear that you support that.
And you allow. Yeah. You create an environment for Grace to be who she wants to be.
Exactly.
That is genuinely like, I think my biggest goal as a parent, like let me facilitate the environment for you to grow into whoever you are at your core. And I'm just starting to see her develop her own choices. Like, for example, from the moment she was born, like I've bought her clothes from both like the boys and the girls section. Like growing up, I was a big tomboy. And so I dressed in boys' clothes for like the first like 8 years of my life. And that's what I liked. And then later I changed.
Right.
But I was like, okay, from like a young age, I don't want her to feel like this is weird. And so I gave her, you know, I'd buy her from both. And now she is like developing her strong preferences about what she wears.
I love
and
that.
It's cool because I don't feel like I have put that on her in any way.
Right.
And she is a girly girl. You guys saw what she picked out to wear
those
today.
Sparkly. No, wait, those shoes. I'm thinking about the sparkly pink shoes.
Yes.
She wants pink, frilly, tutu, girly, everything.
Right.
And like that is just as valid of a choice for her as wanting to dress in boys' clothes like I did when I was younger.
But she could even see that as an option. Like, here's the thing. Clothes are clothes. It's not boy, girl. Like it's literally fabric and you can wear whatever you want. And I think as long as she is aware of that, because at some point she could be like, I actually want to wear this thing and buy in the boys' section and like feel like not weird about it.
Yeah. And she does. And she, because when we go shopping, she picks out most of her own clothes now, which is so fun. And she like, she loves graphic tees, like anything with like a character on it. Even if she doesn't know the character, like she picked out like Marvel pajamas. Like she's never seen Marvel, but she was like, that Hulk guy like looks cool and was like pointing at him. So like she can get those. And then she can also the next day decide that she wants to wear her like poofy tutu princess dress.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't want her to ever feel like it has to be mutually exclusive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that like either you are just wearing this or just wearing that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like just the beginning of her developing those preferences of like clothes she likes, books she likes, foods she likes. And it's so fun. I feel like every day it's just like opening a new little box of like, who is my child growing into?
Yeah.
I know I keep saying this, but I'm like, I can't wait till she can speak. Like, I mean, even now that she's not like doing sentences, I'm like, she's got such a personality. She's a little lamb. So I'm like, wait till she starts doing sentences. She's going to have us rolling on the floor laughing.
Right. She's going to get it. She really is going to get us. We're going to be like, not Grace out here.
And I want to know what she like her opinions. I'm like, I want to know
what you have to say,
girl. Get her a mic.
No, facts.
You know?
Yeah. And I also feel like her, I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, like the terrible twos, like and the no's. And I'm like, no is not a bad word.
Yeah.
And I know that like when you're a baby or a toddler, or whatever, you're trying to teach them. So like maybe no in some situations isn't the right response. But like no is a powerful word, especially for a little girl.
Yeah.
And no is like the word.
Yep. And you know what's been the biggest boundary I've had to draw in parenting so far is that we don't force hugs or kisses or anything.
Great.
When we're leaving family, I ask her, like, do you want to give them a hug? And a lot of the time she says no.
Yeah.
And then I say, okay, do you want to give them a high five? And sometimes she says yes, sometimes she says no. Like, none of that is required. But not all, especially older family members, are receptive of that. And they're you have to give me a hug. And it's like, no.
She does not.
Very beginning, we are not setting that
good
parameter. Yep. But and that's so true that no, especially for young girls, is so powerful. And like, I want to let her have those opinions. And easy to say this with a 16-month-old. I'm sure when she's like 2.5 and everything is like, no, I'm going to be annoyed sometimes.
Right, for sure.
Yeah, and that's valid. But I think right now it's kind of honoring that no for her, and that if she says no to eating something or doing something, I honor that. And another thing that I've had to learn with that is to not ask questions that if no isn't a valid answer, I'm not going to ask it. So I used to be like, do you want to go take a bath? And then like, before she could say yes or no, of course, we would just go do it.
Right.
But now she can say no. Mm. So I don't want to ask her a question if I can't honor her answer.
Oh. Yeah.
So if it's not an option to go brush her teeth, like if we're going to brush her teeth, I don't say ask. Like, do you want to brush your teeth? I'll be like, we're gonna brush your teeth.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or I try to give her some like element of control in that. Like, do you want mama to brush your teeth or dada to brush your teeth? And then she'll like point.
Right.
Do you want to brush your teeth now or in 5 minutes? We're gonna go brush your teeth. Do you want to walk or do you want me to carry you? But that's been a big mental shift because my like natural inclination is just to ask her things.
Right.
But then I found myself being like,
wait a second.
No, you can't say no to that.
So now, yeah.
Do
we not?
Do you want a bath? No. You're like,
okay,
oh,
so
shit.
Do we not give the bath?
Right.
No, she said
right.
No.
Yeah. So, and Steven and I both all the time will start asking a question, then we'll stop and be like, we're going to have dinner.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It is not an option.
Yeah. Who do you want to feed you dinner?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And it's, I feel like I'm just kind of starting to really parent.
Mm-hmm.
Like before, it's just kind of survival mode. Like, how do you keep a child alive.
Yeah. No,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And myself like somewhat sane.
Right.
Right. Right.
And now it's like, oh crap, I'm like making decisions.
Girl,
like,
you are parenting
you're
now. Like you are doing the thing.
You are.
And
you
I love it. I really, really love it.
That.
Does Steven feel the same way how you feel about like toddler situation versus newborn?
Yes. I think he was more he liked the newborn stage more than I did, but I think we liked the toddler stage like equal.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit more. He always says that like I'm the one who's like more down for whatever. Like he finds himself, he gets a little bit of like anxiety about like allowing her to try things on her own, right? Like if she wants to try like climbing a play structure on her own, or if she wants to try like, you know, doing some sort of task on her own, he finds himself getting kind of anxious.
Mm-hmm.
But he's very like conscious of that. And he's like, I don't want to pass that anxiety onto my child.
Right.
So like
right.
When she first started walking all the time, he found himself being like, be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful. Like, don't touch that. Don't touch this. And so what he's tried to do is like shift to, instead of saying be careful, like tell her what to be careful of.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just like when she's climbing on a chair being like, be careful, but be like, hey, you shouldn't climb on that because
right.
XYZ.
Or watch out for the step.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right, right.
Watch out for the
guiding,
step.
Yeah.
Keep your hand on this.
Right.
But it's hard because that's not what we're used to.
Right. No.
Watch out.
Yeah.
No, it's like, don't
I'm
do
like,
that.
Don't do that.
What,
get
girl?
Down. Be careful. Right.
And
I'm like,
I am. As much
I guess.
As I,
yeah. Yeah.
And I have to do that to myself too, where I'm like, I want to tell her, like, stop or be careful or don't do this. But I'm like, okay, I need to tell her, like, what to watch out for. What to be aware of, and that also helps her be like more perceptive of her space. But toddlers are freaking wild.
No, yeah. yeah. It's giving Tasmanian devil vibes.
Yep.
Like
it's that.
not really like saying a lot, but saying enough and just being like,
yeah,
running.
Just
I'm doing.
Around.
I'm just doing. I'm touching everything. I'm feeling everything. I'm just like going through it all.
No, that is exactly what it is. It's just this like whirling tornado of like wanting to see everything and just.
And not knowing like what they'll be into or what they're not being into. That's the whole thing too. I feel like it's a lot of like trial and error.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
we're doing this like, thing. Do you like this?
All of a sudden they're like, chill. And then all of a sudden they're like, no,
you're like, okay.
I'm so sorry.
You're like, noted.
But that's so
noted.
Great. Well, I used to babysit through college and I noticed that obviously no kids are the same. So with one of the boys, they'd be like, okay, we're doing bath right now. And they'd be like, okay. And the other one have a meltdown.
Yeah.
And through that process, I realized that the other boy just really enjoyed a heads up. So if I'd say, hey, we're going to go do bath time in 5 minutes. If I didn't give him a heads up, he'd be like, what are you talking about? But I'd be like, okay, 5 minutes till bath time. Literally just that small switch of saying, hey guys, 5 more minutes till bath time. He could clock it in his mind. Mm. And then when it was time for bath time, it was like, okay, let's go.
Prepared now.
That is huge with Grace. We do that all the time. Where like if I and that kind of comes back to like respecting them as like a human being.
Yeah.
Of like I remember one time she was like holding something of mine. It might have been like my phone or like I forget what it was. She was holding something of mine and I just took it because it like I needed it.
It was yours.
It was mine. I just took it out of her hands. I didn't say anything. And she cried.
Right.
And my instant thought was like, well, of course she did. If someone just walked up to me and ripped something out of my hands without saying something, like, of course they're going to be upset.
Yeah.
Right.
But instead, if I'm like, hey, I'm going to take this from you in 1 minute or like, hey, in 1 minute, 5 minutes, we have to leave this thing. She's like very receptive.
Right.
And I think it all just kind of comes back to like
children are human beings too.
Yeah.
So much. Yes. And I hate to always reference TikTok because TikTok is not the source, but I somehow they think I might have children, but they're showing me like gentle parenting. And they're like, listen, gentle parenting doesn't mean I let them walk all over me. It's that I'm just speaking to them respectfully.
Right.
Because so many times they were just like, well, I don't care what you have to say.
I'm
you
the parent.
Do this. I'm the parent. You do it because. And you're like, delusion. But I'm a human. And guess what? Those little humans have so many emotions and they're going through so many things. Why don't we give them a heads up and respect? Like,
You've also taught me indirectly or not to think my own thoughts. All I do as a child is watch whoever is taking care of me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So my reaction to things, my thought process about everything is coming from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if like that's all it is. And that's the hard part, I think. And again, I don't have kids and like whatever, but I've been one. But it's like that whole process of growing up and being in middle school and being a high schooler and, you know, all of those maybe fights or not fights with your parents, like them being like, we taught you better. And I'm like, right, but I'm still a person.
Yeah.
I still have my own thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I still think what I want to think. Like, I know you taught me.
But we told you to do this. I said, yeah, but that's you.
Right.
And
that's
you. And that's the tough part at the end where when you're a parent, I've spoken to you about having to let go and knowing that that kid. Yes, of course you gave birth to them and you love them more than anything, but they're still their own person. You have to respect them and respect their boundaries.
Yeah.
And it's tough to see parents that don't respect it at all. They're just kind of like, well, I said this. Well, I said that. I birthed you. You know,
right.
And you're like, okay, what are we doing?
And that's the thing is like all parents are going to make mistakes. Like the day that I took that thing out of Grace's hand and it made her upset, like that was a mistake. I wish I would have in that moment gone immediately started with, hey, I'm going to take this from you in a couple minutes or give her something else. And hey, you take this. I'm going to take that. But I didn't. And I am going to, that's a small mistake. I'm probably going to make big mistakes in parenting and every parent does. But I think it's trying to be aware of that and trying to do better in the future. And every parent is starting on a different level because also a lot of parenting is unlearning the way that you were parented. And we all default to the way that we were raised.
Yep.
And it's hard to unlearn that. And that's why there's like cycles of like abuse and stuff, you know,
yeah.
because you only know the way you were raised.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the part where I am like, okay, I know the parts of my childhood that I did not appreciate as a child that I'm like, if I'm going to have kids, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And like, no disrespect to my parents because like they only know what they know. And it's like,
right.
It's fine. But like, that doesn't mean that me as a child was like, this is good. Like, right. This is
Rock
fine.
On.
Me like, I didn't like that at all.
Yeah.
And me now noticing how it affects me as an adult, I'm like, I cannot like pass that on because it was so disruptive for my life.
And that's where I feel like we have to give grace not only to ourselves, but to other parents that like, we are all going to make mistakes, you know, and we only know what we know. But as a parent, it is your job to do better.
Yep. Yeah.
And like, I'm going to make so many mistakes. And like, I, it's that balance of like wanting to be aware of that and change, but also not wanting to like shame spiral
right.
of like, I wish I was a better parent.
Yeah. You know? And I also think like, and not to like make it dramatic or anything, but like, that's where I'm like, that's where pro-choice is important because not everybody is trying to be a parent.
No, it's
not everybody wants to be a parent and it's hard. And it is the moment that, if you decide to have a child, like then it is your responsibility to do your best as a parent to like parent them.
Yep. And let me tell you, I was already pro-choice before I got pregnant, before I dealt with miscarriages and had Grace. Going through all of that has actually made me more like vehemently pro-choice because I'm like, I have seen firsthand how difficult this is.
Right.
And I have seen firsthand from someone who wanted it desperately.
Right.
How much it can take out of you. And as someone who was fully prepared and wanted my life to change, I still see how hard it can be for your life to change.
Right.
And I don't, that's why I don't think that should be put onto anyone. And that whenever I talk about being pro-choice, I get messages that are like, how could you say that as a parent? How, what do you think?
You're like right. As a parent, I have seen and lived it, babes.
Right. Yep. And like, imagine not wanting this at all and having to live through shit that was incredibly difficult.
Right.
Yeah.
And not even wanting it.
And that's just the parenting part aside from the pregnancy part.
right? Pregnancy is so difficult, so hard on your body. Mm-hmm. So even if you're wanting to give a child up for adoption, that's not a solution to an unwanted pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I digress.
Right. No, I mean, and I know I didn't want to like bring that up because that's a whole conversation. But like, that's the point.
Yeah.
And that is always my rebuttal, because there are so many people in my life that are like, well, just not now. You just don't want. I'm like, why can't my answer to you be like, I don't want to have children? Why is that not enough? And why do you think that like my life and like my value as a woman and as a person relies on the fact of whether I have kids or not?
Because it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It does
I could
not.
Have, I could. I'm said, you tell that to Betty White. Rest in peace, my girl.
Icon.
But like, she never had kids and she was like, no, I'm good. She lived her whole life and was like, fine.
And that's the thing. You can live a full, vibrant life as a parent, and you can live a full, vibrant life child-free.
Yeah.
And it should be your choice whether you want to do either one.
Yeah.
Agreed. Honestly, and period. Drop the mic. That's period. That's
that. Is that where we should end things?
Maybe we should. I mean, we're going to be here for a year.
Yeah.
Catching up and talking about all the other stuff. We're going to be here forever.
All day long.
Wait, but you forgot to tell us about Disney World.
Oh.
Okay, T, right. With the hurricanes and things.
You're right. Tune in next week.
Yes. And again, everyone say happy birthday, Halloweena.
Thank you guys so much.
Please wish her birthday, Scorpio Queen.
Yes. Oh, thank you. All my fellow Scorpio, sending you love. Yes. I'm going to celebrate my day just being so thankful for another great year.
Yeah.
You guys.
Woof, woof. Yeah. Cheers.
I'm so glad to start it here. Cheers.
She's empty, but it's solidarity.
Cheers.
Well, thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure you like and subscribe, rate the podcast, do all the things you can do, and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
I literally moved my mic before you said that because I was like, we're done. Well,
sorry. I felt so compelled. I felt so compelled to tell everybody what to do.
You need to. That's the thing. I wasn't going to do it, but someone's got to tell them.
It was me today.
Yeah, it was Sierra you.
Said, hands off the steering wheel.
She's like, goodbye. Well, yeah.
Goodbye and
goodnight. Do the things. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.